Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we begin in the name of Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru. We praise Him, we seek Him, and we ask for His forgiveness. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a pleasure to be back on the air. If you've just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548, Radio Islam. And we're coming to you live from our Lanasia studios. The time now is 14:07, and my name is Tasneem. Welcome back, Ahlan wa Sahlan. Welcome back to the Stranger series and what we were discussing over the last 2 weeks. This is part three of the Stranger series, Who is the Ghuraba? So, alhamdulillah, we've come to a beautiful time of the year again on this lovely Monday afternoon. It's that time of the year again. The adrenaline is pumping. The plans are thoughtfully sketched out. And everyone is in vacation mode. You know, the annual holidays are generally a culmination of hard years, work, studying, and effort, which brings with it fortune, success, and prosperity. While for some, it could bring despair, stress, and anxiety. So it's any way that you take it. It's a good time of the year where everybody has time on their hands, and that is the blessing and the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, where Allah actually takes a qasam on time. So it's that time of the year that everyone wants to have fun. The fortunate few are those that use this time wisely and productively. So today's show is all about finding that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over the last 2 weeks, we spoke about, based on the hadith of the Ghuraba and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, glad tidings to the stranger and live your life like a wayfarer and a traveler. So when this time of year arrives, different people slot themselves into different activities. Last week, we spoke about finding yourself in the identity crisis that we face as a Muslim ummah, and how we struggle with this identity, and how we don't value this gift of Iman, and how we don't understand who we are as the Ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, I think from last week to this week, for those of you that were following the Stranger series, inshallah, I hope we've started to ponder and realize who we are and take our identity back and understand who we are and what Allah expects us to do. So inshallah, for today's show, the lines are open. We'd love to hear more from you and where you are in the world, what you're doing on this beautiful Monday afternoon. The Radio Islam telephone lines are 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. And the SMS line and the number to WhatsApp is 082-551-3885. So I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you're doing. How's the holidays going? How are you spending your time? How are you spending it wisely and productively, inshallah? So despite the overwhelming holiday fever that pervades all walks of life, there are those fortunate few who are undeterred by the unfolding events. And alhamdulillah, you know, their conviction is propelled by the verse in the Noble Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hasten steadily towards forgiveness from your Lord and paradise, which is as wide as the heavens and the earth, prepared for those who have inculcated taqwa. For such the reward is forgiveness from their Lord and the gardens with rivers flowing beneath, wherein they shall abide forever. How excellent is this reward for the doers who do righteous deeds according to Allah's orders. And this comes in Surah Ali Imran. So they go about each day in the very same favor, fulfilling their obligations and restraining from sins and places of vice. And, you know, it's very difficult to do this, especially at a time like this in the holidays when everybody's all about merrymaking and having fun. And sometimes when we're on vacation, our Iman also goes on vacation. So I think it's a good time to sit back, reflect, and, you know, and ponder as to where am I? Where am I in my life? Where am I in my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So like I was saying about these fortunate few, like the Quran describes them, they are steadfast with their salah, consistent with their dhikr and tilawat. So even though that you are on holiday, it doesn't mean that you need to be laxed with your salah and your dhikr and tilawat. In fact, we have more time in our hands. So inshallah, we can spend this time more productively. And most importantly, they frequent the company of the pious. This makes, you know, our tasks and our obligatory duties so much easier when we find ourselves amongst those people that remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these fortunate people that use their time so constructively, even though it's the holiday season, make every attempt to maximize their proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even during these lovely days, it's nice to go shopping, and if you're walking around the mall, think about, you know, the sunnah du'as and read the kalimas that that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to read in the marketplace. So there's lots that we can do. Islam doesn't restrict us in any way from having fun and from having a good time. So inshallah, let's take this hour to see, inshallah, how we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody's, you know, saying we should stop having fun. How we should get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, find proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and have fun in the process. And finding the beauty in deen, this is what really keeps us steadfast, inshallah. So frankly, whatever form of outward happiness or pleasure we experience in this rapidly diminishing life is a deception. And this is something that we need to realize, especially during this time where there's so much deception around us. It may appease our desire momentarily, but it's too short-lived to even mention. Because before we know it, this is all going to be over, and then we're going to go back to the humdrum of, you know, our daily routine. So similarly, the pleasure of this world is so deceptive and hollow that a person is constantly seeking to outdo the pleasure experienced previously. We're always looking for our next high. We experience joy and happiness, and then we want more joy and happiness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect that if I had to give them one valley of gold, they would have wanted another valley of gold. And this is the nature of insan. We're always wanting more and more and more. But I think what we need to do is just change our perspective and want more in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because true contentment can only find rest in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back about, you know, talking about these fortunate few that take time to sit and contemplate and realize what their purpose is on earth. These fortunate few take further solace from the verse of the Noble Quran which state, lo and behold, only in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find contentment. And this key principle should be sufficient for every Muslim to understand that any other attempt to acquire peace, contentment of heart and pleasure is redundant if it does not entail the remembrance and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us take this time and let us figure out how are we going to now reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me first just start with a beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, is the best psychologist humanity has ever known. And he said something to the effect in a beautiful saying hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man arafa nafsahu arafa rabbahu. They who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So alhamdulillah, over the last two weeks doing the Stranger series on Radio Islam, we've spoken a lot about identity and this phenomenon of identity and how complex it is and how to understand who you are. So there's three existential questions that I tend to repeat a lot, but I think it's so potent and so crucial to understand who we are. It's who are we? Where have we been, and where are we going? So I think just, like I say every week, just jot down those three questions and see where you are this week, because it's ever evolving and we're always changing and we're always trying to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also in the hadith, be in this world as if you were a stranger or a traveler along a path. This is a popular hadith that I kept repeating over the last two weeks, about attachment to the material world, and is therefore no surprise that every spiritual tradition in Islam incorporates wandering or travel as part of the soul's training. So, you know, I mean, this is the time of the year where everybody is now going on vacation and, you know, planning where we're going, and some of you might be on vacation already. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what you're up to on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And, you know, the number again to call is 011-854-1548. So coming back up to the question about wandering and traveling, since Adam and Hawa set their feet on earth, and we have been in, you know, the human race has been in constant motion, the curiosity within us has led us to always be on the move, to discover new lands, greener pastures, faraway wonders, and to trade in all sorts of things. In fact, travel is encouraged in Islam. It is a means of contemplation, learning, and earning livelihood. Obviously, everything begins with innamal a'malu binniyat. So it's very important that wherever you are today, listening to the show, let us renew our intentions and, you know, have sincerity in these intentions and say that whatever we do to only get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So within Islam, everything has a higher purpose. And it is this refinement that makes a difference for Muslims in their daily lives. From the moment that you wake up, think about yourself this morning when you woke up, till the moment you go back to bed, they can gain a higher level of spirituality. So each one of us, from morning till nighttime, we can, you know, take those baby steps closer and closer to Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect in the hadith that, you know, for every little step that we take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah comes running towards us. So we need to seek the pleasure of Allah. When traveling, one has to have the proper intention. We have to correct our intention, and nothing is better than seeking the pleasure of your Creator by turning the act of sightseeing into an act of worship. Just driving from Johannesburg, you know, through to the studios in Lanesha this afternoon, you know, I couldn't help but look into the sky, and it's so beautiful and blue, and I saw these white fluffy clouds floating around. And subhanAllah, you know, it's, you know, because I was preparing for the show, and it made me think of Araftuka and how we need to spend our time every day, every moment that we have, in the obedience and in the worship of Allah. And just by admiring the greatness of Allah, that can be an ibadah for us, inshallah. And then, obviously, on the highway, you're passing the cemetery also. And that just makes you think that how short your life is going to be and where will you, you know, be buried one day. So I think it's very important for us just to, you know, just step outside of our boxes, our thought boxes and our thought processes, and turn them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn them to the akhirah and make this life as it is in the Quran, how Allah describes it, a deception. That's what it is. So we are so engulfed by what is going on around us that we don't take time to focus on our akhirah. But simple things like just admiring the creation of Allah, and I'm sure wherever you are traveling, you know, taking in all the beautiful sights and the sceneries and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not only saying how beautiful this is, but how beautiful is the one that created it. Another important point is sincerity. An integral part of seeking the pleasure of Allah is being sincere in your intention and your actions. It's also required in all manners of interaction with people all over the world. And I think, you know, sincerity is something that some of us, you know, I speak about myself first, is a great thing that we lack. So it's something that we need to check within ourselves constantly. The ulama have advised us to check our intention and our ikhlas, our sincerity, in the beginning of an action, in the middle of an action, and at the end of the action, because shaitan comes in all forms and he will try and derail us and change our intentions. Another important point is deriving support from Allah. Ask for Allah's assistance in your travels. You know, start your travels with your du'as. Ask for spiritual support and for success in the trip, whether it is for business or pleasure. Also ask for good company while on your journey. It's also very important in the Sharia to always have good company and to have company while you're traveling. You know, and then also another important thing is if you're going to be embarking on a trip, whether it's local or overseas, always make sure that your last will and testament is all in order. So Muslims are encouraged to have their will written before they travel, stating their financials in it and whether or not they owe or somebody else owes them money. This way, these rights and obligations don't get forgotten in the case of death or injury, because this is how we need to live our life, like a traveler. And, you know, always anticipating death, and this is the reality of life, which is death. Another important thing is, as Muslims, we need to show good morals. You know, Muslims carry Islam, we carry the flag of Islam wherever we go. And it's not just the acts of worship, but it's also in the way they carry themselves. And most importantly, in their morals, in their behavior, in their akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he encouraged more people to take shahada just based on his very akhlaq and his character. So sometimes it's not in the words that we say, but more in the actions and in our body language. So it's very important for us to carry ourselves in the best possible way. You know, wear our hijabs proudly, represent our deen, look like Muslims, behave like Muslims, and inshallah, this can be a means of hidayat for so many. So we should act accordingly, be humble, you know, be moderate, and, you know, inshallah. So these are all just some things to consider, and also to do good for those who need it. So it's very important to help those that I need. This is also part of our Muslim character. It's embedded in the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, and helping people in need wherever we are in the world, regardless of their color, creed, or gender, comes with the territory. So traveling in itself is not forbidden in Islam. The majority of the most famous explorers were Muslim. Like look, for example, the story of Ibn Battuta. And you know, this is just to name one famous traveler that we know. It's what's happened. It's what happens during the journey itself. You know, that might cause a specific trip to be unacceptable. So it's very important how we behave, what our intentions are, where we're going. Try and, you know, refrain from places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses upon. So Imam Shafi said something so beautiful, and he said, "Leave your country in search of loftiness and travel, for in travel there are five benefits: relief of adversity and earning of livelihood, and knowledge and etiquettes and noble companionship." So, you know, travel is very encouraged in Islam, and like I said, it's just how we spend that time and where we choose to go. So the wisdom behind this is to encourage detachment to the dunya, the material world, which makes it strange to the soul. It takes me back to the hadith of the ghuraba, and thereby develop a greater appreciation for the hereafter. Following this spiritual crisis, like we spoke about the identity crisis last week, the great scholar Imam Ghazali, often called, you know, he was referred to as the proof of Islam, he embarked on such a journey where he would go in search of knowledge. And I wanted, you know, while I was doing research for this show today, I came across, you know, when I was doing, when interestingly, the word vacation comes from the Latin word vacatio, which means freedom, release from occupation. So when our lives are filled with activities, and this is, you know, for most moms, those things that we feel compelled to do out of necessity, like caregiving, working, for example, house cleaning, answering emails, you know, during school drives, driving the school's kids to the appointments and athletic events, and the countless other responsibilities that consume the vast majority of our energy. And, you know, I'm just getting tired listing all of these things. I'm actually out of breath. It's easy to feel like we're not free. And that life is all about doing what we have to do. At the end of the day, that's not much energy or motivation left to put you into, you know, to put into your relationship with others, let alone your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because reading that list of things that we need to do literally left me breathless. So, you know, it literally sucks out your energy and drains you. So when things get back to normal after the holidays, how much time do we actually have to, you know, foster into our relationships with others, with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And even if there was, doesn't it sometimes feel like it's just another obligation? You know, so we just get up, we pray, we lead our salah, we up, down, touch the ground. But are we really connecting to that spiritual source, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So take this time. You know, there's an interruption in the routine and there's a change in the scenery so we can recharge our minds, our bodies and our souls. So we need to take this time out and care for ourselves. You will realize how important it is to get away from our routines and robotic existence. It's like a a breath of fresh air, as they say. So vacations don't have to cost much. Sometimes just staying at home is good enough because it breaks away from that routine. And taking time out to do things that are different from what you normally do. So we don't have to go very far from our homes. We can stay at home. We don't need to interrupt our normal patterns. We're not only going to gain a fresh perspective, but we also get to rest, refresh, and recharge our spiritual batteries, our bodily, you know, things, activities that we need to also take into consideration. So no matter how little time or money you think you have, you just can't afford not to take vacations. So being away from the routine of our lives also offers us a fresh perspective that can open our eyes to new possibilities for the futures. Muslims come from a long line of famous travelers, and you know, we were transformed irreversibly by their experiences. This includes the world's most traveled man, like I said earlier, Ibn Battuta, who was born in Morocco and traveled for 30 years after setting off for the Hajj in 1325. And did you know that he was only 21 at that time? One might say that he was the first gap year student. So Muslim scholars also deem it important to travel and often covered great distances to acquire knowledge, like the Sunni Muhaddith Muhammad al-Bukhari. Finally, there are many prophets who embarked on monumental spiritual journeys that transformed not only their character, but also strengthened their inner resolve. And the most famous of these are, you know, we read every Friday in the Surah Kahf on Friday, the story of Musa alayhi salam's journey alongside the Khidr alayhi salam. So nothing quite extinguishes ignorance like real life experience. In an increasingly global world saturated by media, we find it easy to sit on one side of the world and judge people on the other. So, you know, this is why travel actually opens our eyes, because using videos and news articles and pictures is easy to arrogantly believe we know a people or a place just by how media has represented them. And we know how false the media represents many things. Yet the very meaning of media is that it is in the middle of reality. So a mere representation of it, it's not the reality. You can only experience a reality when you're living in that society and you see things for yourself. So traveling to places we have judged or thought we knew is the best way to realize this, because it teaches us just how wrong we can be and addresses our ignorance. Travel also makes us see that actually we know very little. You know, so I think it's very important to take time out to think, you know, about all the places that we want to visit, make a bucket list, and inshallah, it'll be a good way to start and, you know, do a vision board maybe, and inshallah, Allah make your dreams a reality, inshallah. It's also very important to talk to anyone who has traveled, especially, you know, you will be blown away by their self-confidence and open-mindedness and how well they seem to know themselves, because travel really helps you find yourself. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, once you find yourself, those who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So I think we're all searching for Allah, but the main thing is to first find yourself, like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and then you will understand who Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is. So travel creates a better you, because it takes you out of your comfort zone. And remember, growth only happens outside the comfort zone. And it literally forces you to ask questions about who you are. Like I said earlier, why are you here and what are you doing? What's your purpose in life? As Muslims, we believe that there will come a time when we have to stand alone in front of our Creator and we will be cross-examined. So travels allows you to cross-examine yourself with the expectations of society, culture, religion, and family. Those that have done this will tell you that nothing is more liberating than having only your own expectations. Subhanallah. So I think travel literally opens your mind to a whole different world. Inshallah, we'll be speaking more about travel and the adventures of traveling straight after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, my name is Tasneem and you're listening to the Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our Laneja studios. The series is called The Stranger Series, and before the break we were discussing how to be a traveler that is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over the last few weeks we've been discussing the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Glad tidings to the ghuraba, to the stranger." So how do we live our life like a stranger? How do we live our life like travelers? So before the break, we were talking about traveling and how to incorporate our spirituality along this journey as we embark on this lovely, you know, time of the year where everybody's on vacation and everybody's traveling. And it's important to understand that the world is an amazing place full of amazing experiences waiting to be had, you know, and we should look towards this world with hope, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to have the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. So we need to not just, you know, to not enjoy any of them whilst you're here. He would seem like such a waste. So take this opportunity to experience all the greatness around you, and not only looking at the beauty around you, but understanding that who has created this beauty, subhanallah. So in an age where travel is becoming increasingly cheap, subhanallah, and you know, methods of income on the road to fund those travels increasingly flexible, a few excuses remain to not go off, you know, on a road trip and to see the world at least once, you know, to go to your dream destinations. So those who don't we'll never see a sunrise over the ancient man-made masterpieces like Machu Picchu. They won't ever listen to the silence of the natural wonder like the Sahara Desert, nor will they taste the sweetness of a star fruit freshly shaken from its tree in Bangladesh, by the village children. So it's very important that we, take time to understand all the Qudrat around us, all Allah's greatness around us. Otherwise, we certainly won't experience the joyous smells of a thousand spices as we stroll through a real Arabian bazaar. So I think just taking us through the strip and, road tripping and hopping on a plane and experiencing all our wildest dreams, it's very important not to lose focus of our akhirah, and during our travels to understand and, to get closer and to find proximity to our Rabb, inshallah. Also, when we travel, we always take our parents, brothers, sisters, and homes for granted, but you just spend a few months on the road and then taste your mother's home cooking or listen to your father's boring stories of old, and you come back after a month's Euro railing and see if your sister is actually as annoying as you thought, or your older brother as overbearing as he seemed. So absence, like they always say, makes the heart fonder. But you know what we really mean is that you finally see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. So traveling really opens your eyes. It really makes you, not take the things that we have for granted. It really opens your eyes to all the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. And also coming home and, being so grateful for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, because when you travel, you see that there are people out there that don't have the ni'mats and the facilities that we have in our countries. And just speaking about a little bit of what I spoke about last week, about this freedom of religion and us as Muslim women having this freedom to freely wear our hijab and to stand proud outside as Muslim women, this is a ni'mat and it's a privilege that we as South African women need to really embrace and, grab it, because other sisters across the world are crying for things that we take for granted. So by traveling to places significant in Islamic history and, any other places, we understand the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. So whether you're going to Medina or Cordoba in Spain, we come closer to our roots, our past, our heritage. We walk on the soil that the Anbiya walked upon. We walk on the plains that the Sahabas rode their horses on and their camels on. So it's only by knowing where we came from can we truly know where we are traveling to. Travel was openly encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who saw it as an essential path to seek knowledge. It brings to mind the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Seek knowledge even unto China." Then there is this Prophet's highly spiritual experience. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the night miraj or the night journey, in which he ascends through the seven heavens, meets the prophets of before, and receives instructions from Allah about the gift of salah. This journey is so well documented in our scriptures and in hadith that, which most scholars believed happened before his emigration to Medina, was intended not only to strengthen his resolve and inner belief about his own prophethood, but also, finally, much of the Prophet's formative years were spent traveling with his family business, caravans all over the Middle East, and this was even before Nubuwwat. So, alhamdulillah, we can see that traveling is also a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These travels later had a profound impact on his ability to respect differences and empathize with different cultures. And I think, like we were speaking about this before the break, where travel literally opens your mind to a whole different world, and it makes you understand and, respect different people. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He has made us all into different nations and tribes so that we may recognize one another. Subhanallah. And I think by traveling, just alone going to Mecca, it's really a kaleidoscope of colors, and everybody on that same mission, praying to the same Allah, doing exactly the same thing, even though everybody speaks different languages, dressed in different attire. But subhanallah, it really, really is mind-boggling and amazing the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes this all come together. Subhanallah. So through travel, we get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. And you know, you have the, you can, you could have some of the most spiritual moments staring out across a mountain range, a desert, lake, or even just humanity going about its daily existence. It's something amazing just watching human beings, you know, move around their familiar environments and watching them go about their daily existence. There's so much to be learned just in this general observation. Travel also makes the familiar unfamiliar to us, and in doing so, we come to better appreciate Allah's creation. Throughout the Quranic verses, you know, Allah asks men to reflect on what has been created on earth and in the heavens, and what better way to do that than through travel. So, like I said in the beginning of the show, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. We really need to just, you know, realign our intentions, and, you know, when we're taking the trips and when we're going on vacation, not to let our iman go on vacation. In fact, our iman should be actually on a super high, because now we have this amanat of time, which we don't generally have throughout the year. So inshallah, let us be like the fortunate ones, and you know, the ulul albab, the people of intellect that actually use their time in a productive way to get to gain proximity to their Rabb, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, "For without doubt in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find satisfaction." So true rest can only be found in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be close to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a fundamental need of every human being, and in striving to achieve it, it can be the healing for our chaotic inner selves, which in turn leads to, you know, Allah's love. We'll be more productive. We can be more confident human beings. We can find satisfaction and joy, not only in this dunya, but subhanAllah, even in the akhirah. So it's a definite win-win situation. So let us take this time out to ponder, to sit, to reflect, and also to gain proximity to our Rabb. Therefore, it's essential to exert effort in seeking closeness to your Creator. To begin with, the prescription to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it requires a few things from us. So number one, we first need to, you know, correct our intention. Innamal a'malu binniyat, and I can't stress more upon this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one of the first hadith in Bukhari Sharif. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us in this hadith that, you know, fix your intention. Every action is judged by its intention. So strong intention, fix our intention, make everything, you know, pure and, you know, with sincerity and a strong intention to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that we need is patience. We need a lot of patience. You know, sometimes we try to read our salah and we're not feeling it, and then we just give up. Or we try to read our salah and then we take off our hijab, and then we feel we're being hypocrites. So we say, you know, I'm not wearing hijab, so I shouldn't read salah. Whatever you can do in your capacity, do that. Even if it's very little, but as long as it's consistent. Allah loves when we show consistency, which brings me to my third point, which is consistency. You know, Allah loves, even if it's very small deeds, but if you can just do it often and be consistent with it, this is what Allah loves. And then slowly, slowly, we can start building on this. And the fourth thing is to avoid doing nothing. You know, we can get very comfortable in this zone of doing nothing. So try and avoid, try and be productive all the time. Okay, so let's first consider our worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to know your worth to Allah, then see what you are doing with your life. Are you pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you disappointing Him? And if you don't like your answer, well, there is good news. The fact that you are seeking closeness to Allah means He wants you to remember Him. Being productive is very important as a Muslim. When you seek beneficial knowledge, it is a sign of Allah's mercy. A righteous deed is like a pearl necklace. When it breaks, all the pearls follow one another quickly. So we have this ripple effect, inshallah. So one good deed leads to another good deed. So this is why perseverance and patience is so important, because we need to get better and better at what we're doing, inshallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said that Allah said, I am nearer to the thought of my servant as he thinks about me, and I am with him as he remembers me. And if he remembers me in his heart, I also remember him in my heart. And if he remembers me in an assembly, I remember him in an assembly better than his. And if he draws near me by the span of a palm, I draw near him by the cubit. And if he draws near me by the cubit, I draw near him by the space covered by two hands. And if he walks towards me, I rush towards him. So let us start with baby steps. And I love using this analogy of baby steps, because when we take little steps towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our own capacity, whatever we can do, whether it's putting on a hijab or, you know, sitting on in the hot sun on the beach and you're the only one that's covered, this might be a small effort for you. But Allah sees the, you know, the greatness in this act, and He rushes towards us. So never ever think that all your struggles are in vain. We need to struggle to achieve great things. The harder the struggle, the harder the jihad, the better the outcomes, inshallah, and the better the reward will be. So getting close to Allah takes time. We need patience. We need perseverance. We cannot expect everything to magically fall into place by doing a righteous deed. This is why we need to persevere. You need to depend on Allah and to trust that what He has planned for you is the best you can have for this life and the hereafter. And this is something that we struggle with, because sometimes we become impatient as insan, because we've been created out of haste and we need things to be done here, you know, immediately. But Allah says, have patience. What He has planned for you is better than you can ever have imagined. So here are some tips to achieve closeness to Allah during this holiday season. I think I like to start with a dua, supplication. We forget that we need Allah's help and strength to guide us. You know, when we get too caught up with this dunya, we often think we can do it on our own without His help. The more we achieve success, we tend to, you know, equate it to ourselves and believe that we are responsible for the success. We have to know that nothing changes without the strength and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to ask Him for His help, even if it is to get closer to Him or become better at worshipping Him. We need to seek refuge in Allah in everything. So, you know, make Allah your focus. We could be, you know, it could be negative thoughts that we have, our lack of productivity, or even our lack of faith. We need to ask Allah to help us and guide us to the straight path. So if we're struggling to wake up for tahajjud, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you wake up for tahajjud. Because remember, He chooses who He wants to worship Him. So Allah make us amongst those chosen few, inshallah. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and when my servants ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me, so let them respond to me by obedience and believe in me that they may be rightly guided. Subhanallah. So Allah says, you know, indeed He is near. He is closer to us than our jugular vein. So we need to understand the proximity of Allah. Allah is right there. If you're feeling far from Allah, know that you've moved. Allah hasn't moved an inch. Another important point to remember is to stay away from sin. Especially during the holiday season, we walk into the malls, the music is, you know, playing extremely loudly. Sometimes it's songs from our days of Jahiliyyah and we might be singing along. So, you know, be very conscious, you know, stay focused and try and avoid places where you think you're going to be is going to be a detriment to your iman. You need to get any poisons out of your life. Poisons has many forms. Fix your heart by staying away from anything that Allah doesn't love. So the sins, the, you know, these are all the poisons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from doing, try and stay away from them. If you are around friends that make you sin and make you disappoint Allah, then you need to get them out of your life. And I'm not asking you to cut ties with anyone, but if you're not strong enough to convince them to do good, then rather stay away from them. There's a beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, we are, as human beings, we're social beings, so we need to interact with human beings, but we need to understand that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us in a hadith. Okay, let me go through the hadith, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it so beautifully, and he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, a good friend and a bad friend are like a perfume seller and a blacksmith. You know, this hadith is so beautiful and we hear it so often, but I really want you to internalize what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and you know, understand the psychology in this hadith. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that the perfume seller might give you some perfume as a gift, or you might buy some from him, or at least you might smell its fragrance. As for the blacksmith, he might singe your clothes. At the very least, you will breathe in the fumes of the furnace. And this comes from Sahih al-Bukhari. So it's very important who we befriend, you know. So even during this holiday time, check your company. If you want to know a person, you don't even have to get to know him. Just see who's the inner circle, and you'll be able to understand. So we're not here to judge people, but I'm asking you to introspect and check your own friends and check yourself. And also check yourself in terms of when you leave a gathering, are your friends' iman heightened or weakened? So even the effect that you're having on people, inshallah. It's very important to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His 99 beautiful names. How can you love Allah and want to get closer to Him if you don't know Him that well? We fall in love with people as we get to know them more and more, and we realize that they have a lot of beautiful qualities and characteristics. Of course, Allah is above any analogy, but you need to know Him more. Wanting to get close alone won't do you any good without falling in love with your Creator. So start with the name of Al-Wudud, the ever-loving. Allah's love for you is unconditional. Allah loves us more, 70 times more than a mother loves her newborn baby. He does not need or want anything from you in return. He loves you, so He keeps giving you even if you disobey Him. The sun rises every day despite all the sinners on earth, and it rains despite everybody being in the disobedience of Allah. So try and make a lot of tawbah and istighfar and get to know Allah. Ask Allah with His 99 names. He is the one who is closest to you. So ask Him to bring you closer to Him. Call on Him using the name Al-Wadud and ask Him to love you more and make you love Him more. It's as simple as that. We know sometimes as human beings we tend to overthink stuff, and we forget that we can seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Shaitan's biggest trick. His biggest trick is to make us lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inshallah, we'll be back straight after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Tasneem and you're on Medium Wave 1548. Continuing with the Stranger series, today is the third, part three of the Stranger series. We're speaking about finding Allah during the holiday period. And when you go on vacation, inshallah, our iman does not go on vacation. So the question you need to ask yourself is, have I lost Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I not know where Allah is? And do I need to be reminded how to find a pathway back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah, every day we read and we hear the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba ikram. We hear about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. We hear about their sincerity and their devotion to Allah, where they had iman of such a level, where they had this quality of sami'na wa ata'na. Imam Abu Hanifa would recite the entire Quran in one night in prayer, subhanallah. And, you know, it really boggles our minds and make us, in total awe and admiration of these. But we need to understand that they were also insan. They were not, higher spiritual beings. And these things are all things that we can also accomplish, inshallah, if we just put our minds to it. Imam Shafi would recite the entire Quran 60 times in the month of Ramadan. We read and we hear all these stories. So we need to also emulate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the best of example in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very important. In finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. You know, follow his sunnah, eat like him, sleep like him, dress like him, you know, for the men, and follow his advices with regards to what he expected the women to do, inshallah. So where is Allah in our lives? We've been spending this whole 45 minutes to an hour together and, speaking about vacations and traveling and the importance of taking time out to find ourselves and to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes we're too hard on ourselves, and we think that we're not good enough. And sometimes we trick ourselves and we feel like, we're doing a great job and we're so close to Allah and we don't need anything else. And this is the very place where we need to recheck ourselves and know that we are in desperate need of finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they pray, they cry, these are the people that when they read the Quran, it softens their heart. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave all of his wealth in the path of Allah. What are we doing? Where are we going? We read and we keep on reading and we hear these stories all the time on the radio and in Dalim and we read about it ourselves. But where is Allah in our lives? Where is our spirituality? Is our spirituality also gone on vacation? So we need to find a balance. That is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, moderation and balance. Allah tells us to search for him. Every single Prophet of Allah searched for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went out and they looked for Allah. They, you know, that search begins with ilm and knowledge. And we spoke a little bit about this last week when we spoke about the very foundation of our entire religion, Islam, is based on iqra, knowledge. So ilm is the cure for ignorance. The cure for ignorance is to ask a question. And this comes from a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we know when he said it's so important to ask, but to ask the right questions with the right intentions. So when you want to know something, or you want to know someone, you start asking about them. So who is Allah? You know, who is Allah? Find Allah. There's a difference between information and recognition. Recognition is ma'rifah. Raftuka, we say these words, you know, when you recognize something. Shaitan had information. He had all the information. He was right there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Information must lead one to realization. Information must lead to transformation. So it's very important that during this holiday season, we know a lot, alhamdulillah. You know, we've been blessed with a lot of channels of information through the radio, through the internet, through books, through madrasas, and through our weekly halakas and talims. So during this holiday season, to take all of that information that we have, all this ilm that we have, all this knowledge that we have, and let it lead us to realization and inshallah eventually transformation, and take us closer to reach a level of realization and transformation, you need to take a journey of searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during this holiday season, let's go, let's travel, and let's search for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we see, in the raindrops that are falling from the sky, in the veins that we see flow through the veins now, you know, through our hands, and the veins and the leaves. If you have this whole world, but you haven't found Allah, you haven't found anything. The entire human existence is a journey. This journey is a search of who am I? Where have I been? And where am I going? And why? What is the purpose of all of this? So there has to be that love that makes you relentless until you find him. You mustn't give up. You don't give up. And the ayah that says, they forgot me, so Allah made them, as a consequence, forget about themselves. So let us not be amongst these people, and let us remember Allah. Let us find this true contentment in our hearts, where we can really, you know, find this contentment and remember Allah in all his greatness, and in finding, in admiring Allah's creation, inshallah, we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, as we're wrapping up today's show, let's be productive, let's seek knowledge and take action. The more you love Allah, the more you will get closer to him. The more you get closer to him, the more he will get closer to you. Like I said earlier, Allah says in the Quran himself, I am closer to you than your jugular vein. The more you will want to learn about the Sunnah and the Quran, and you want to get even, and you'll want to even get closer to him, the closer you will become to reaching this level of ihsan. When you reach that level, you will feel Allah's love, and you will be satisfied with everything that he gives you. And we spoke a little bit about this last week when we spoke about nafsul mutma'inna, the contented soul. And with regards to psychology, it's referred to self-actualization. And when you reach this point, you will be productive, because you won't want to waste time without pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will want to spend every moment of this existence in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be confident in anything that you do in your life, because you will have full trust and yakin in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah guide us to this path that takes us closer to him. It was an absolute pleasure being with you in this past hour. Inshallah, until we meet again next time, fi amanillah, from me, Tasneem, and my engineer at Radio Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.